Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's see here. Live there. Go live. All right, baby, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
All right, welcome to a very special Monday edition of Ringside Reporter Podcast. My name is Eric Lorda. I'm here with Joe Habib here. And we thought about this show today, and we just kind of piggybacked off what we were talking about yesterday, because it was the whole Triple G thing, I think, Beeb, that started this whole thing.
Well, yeah, because I mentioned him being overrated, and the reason why I said he was overrated is because he was considered an all-time great.
Right.
And I didn't believe he was an all-time great, and that's why we had the debate.
Right, and I think he is an all-time great. And then, you know, we thought about it, and I'm like, well, what makes him an all-time great? Well, what makes a fighter an all-time great? You know, and I said, I texted Beeb today, I said, would an undisputed champion make you an all-time great? Hamed 92 says, you guys don't need to explain yourself. Well, you're right, but we are doing a show, so we are going to explain ourselves. So if Beeb, am I correct in that? I mean, if we don't explain ourselves, we don't have a show.
We're not trying to defend our points. We're having an intelligent debate. I mean, we're not on trial. We never said we were on trial. Or,
it's like 12 angry men, you know.
I mean, we can talk about things. I mean, you know. The problem with people is they don't know how to have simple conversations.
Yeah, I guess we don't need to explain ourselves to people. I guess this was a quick show. Show's over.
We're wrapping up,
baby.
Georgie says we can't argue. Now we can't explain ourselves. What are you going to do? Lois, get the Yahtzee set out. We'll play some Yahtzee.
Let's get the Scrabble board out. Let's put a few words together, play some chess, do some, you know.
Yeah.
Invite Davey Boy Essex over. We'll do some chess here, and there you go.
Want to play some Uno?
Uno, that's right. Uno, the game of champions.
I mean.
All right. So anyway, back to my original point here. And guys, feel free to call in and weigh in on this topic and everything like that. But my point here is that, you know, I think Gennady Golovkin, I think Triple G is probably one of the all-time greats. And then we talked about, well, what makes an all-time great? So I don't know. I asked Beeb, I said, you know, what about undisputed champions? Would that make them an all-time great? If you're an undisputed champion, all the belts, are you a great fighter? So I looked it up, and I said, okay. And as I'm looking down this list, man, you got Sugar Ray Leonard on there. You got Marvin Hagler. You got a lot of good fighters. And then we run into James Buster Douglas, who's a very, very good fighter. Is he a great fighter? I don't think so. I don't think he's a great fighter. I think he's a very good fighter. And I think he had a style to beat Mike Tyson. And I think whenever Mike Tyson fought him, he would have gave him fits, much like James Quick Tillis. Good fighter. Very good fighter. Arguably, a very thin argument, but arguably won the fight with Tyson. Very thin argument, by the way. I thought Tyson won that fight, but I thought it was close. I thought it was closer than what most people thought. I thought it was a very close fight. I thought James Quick Tillis represented himself very well in that fight. Very good. Gave him more fits than anybody before or after for a certain amount of time when Tyson was in his prime. So we look at Buster Douglas. He was an undisputed champion. Is he a great fighter? No. So I think that has to go out the window. We cannot say, hey, just because you were undisputed makes you a great fighter. Team Batman Boxing comes in and weighs in here. Triple G is an all-time great, in my opinion. Most defenses in middleweight history, tied with B-Hop. plus also had the highest KO ratio at one point when longest reigning champion in all of boxing. That's where I fall on this. Would you consider, let me ask you this, would you consider Vladimir Klitschko? And then the other thing, too, is that, you know, well, can we go with people that he's beaten? You know, has he beaten any Hall of Famers? And then, you know, you run into guys like Vladimir Klitschko. I mean, who's the best guy he really beat? Who's the best guy he ever beat? And then you say, okay, well, he lost to Anthony Joshua. Is he overrated? Because Anthony Joshua just got pounded out by Andy Ruiz. Is he overrated? No, I don't believe Vlad is overrated at all.
Well,
and I think Vlad is an all-time great. He can only fight the guys put in front of him.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Triple G. He can only fight the guys put in front of him. If Felix Sturm did not want to fight him for that belt, for that full title, that's not on him. And the regular championship, and as far as the regular championship goes, you know, listen, man, I am the biggest opponent of the regular championship you're going to get. I hate it. I don't like it at all. But listen, if he cannot get a shot at the regular belt, there's nothing he can do about that. He didn't go to the WBA and says, hey, make me your champion. They said, hey, fight for our title. You know, you're in our organization, blah, blah, blah. You know, let's fight for it. We'll give you the regular belt, whatever that means. And they said he's the champion. This guy and Felix Sturm are the champions. You know, so when you look, you know, when we look at history, and I was looking at Triple G's resume. Now, listen, it's not a murderer's row per se, but it's not a tomato can club. You know, not by a long shot. You know, there's a lot of good fighters on there. Now, are they killers? No. You know, would you consider Curtis Stevens a good fighter? He's a good fighter.
Yeah, he's not a bad
fighter. He's not a bad fighter. No. All right. Steve Rolls, I had never heard of him, but he was undefeated. He was 36 years old, I believe, at the time. Nah, not a great fighter. It was a good comeback fight. But let's look at Marvin Hagler. I mean, he lost to Willie Monroe. You know?
Well,
listen, everybody's got that thing on their resume, you know.
But to beat a great fighter, you have to beat a great fighter. And you have to ask yourself, has Golovkin ever beat a great fighter?
Well, no. But, well, officially, no. Because, again, I had the Canelo fight. We both had him beating Canelo in the first go-round.
Yeah.
But we got to go official here. Got to go official. So, has he beaten a great fighter? No. Has he beaten very good fighters? Yes.
Yeah.
Danny Jacobs. And, again, we have to go official here because I thought Danny Jacobs beat him. But it is what it is.
Danny Jacobs is a very, very good fighter.
Very good fighter. I would say a solid A fighter.
But
solid A fighter.
The problem with Golovkin is when he stepped up to the Jacobs, to the Canelo, to the Devrenchenko, which is the next tier.
Sure.
He's a very, very, very vulnerable.
Well, sure. And there's a couple of, you know, and I believe there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, you look at his age. He's a little bit older. I think he was on the slide prior to these big fights, okay? But the other reason is they're better fighters. They're better fighters. Not better than Golovkin, but I'm saying they're better caliber of fighters.
I mean, you can even say Anthony Joshua beat a great fighter in Vladimir Klitschko. Now, do you want to put an asterisk next to it because Klitschko was older or whatever?
Right.
Tyson Fury beat a great fighter.
Would you? Okay, well, let's go down that path. Rocky Marciano knocked out Joe Lewis.
Yeah.
Is it a win or a Larry Holmes knocked out Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
Is that really a win? Yeah. You know what I mean? Ohio Runs Boxing brought up a great point yesterday. And when we were talking about this, and he says, well, hey, Errol Spence is doing the same thing. He stepped up in class, couldn't knock out Mikey Garcia, couldn't knock out Sean Porter. You know? I mean, it's
and the problem with Klitschko fought every single person that was available for him to fight.
That's the thing.
Because the problem with Golovkin is he still hasn't fought Andre yet, hasn't fought Saunders.
Well, no, his career is still going on, though.
Yeah,
but we,
a lot of guys,
but we do recognize him as being on that slide, though.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, when I look at it, I say this guy's got, you know, tied with Hopkins for the most middleweight defenses in history, had the highest knockout ratio. I think you got to consider him one of the great fighters. I mean,
Tiny Tim, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I sincerely apologize.
No, not at all.
This sticks in my craw. Tiny Tim just said Klitschko still old when Fury beat him. So why was Klitschko a 4-1? Why was Klitschko a 4-1 favorite? Why did everyone and their brother and mother laugh at me when I picked Tyson Fury to beat Klitschko? You can't be a Monday morning quarterback. Hindsight is 20/20. It's too easy to play the after game.
Yeah.
The Monday morning quarterback game.
Well,
it's too easy to do that. You weren't saying that before the fight.
Right.
You guys picked Klitschko to beat Fury. Now, it's different with Joshua. We all thought Joshua would beat Klitschko at that point in time. All of us picked Joshua. Did we not? We all picked Joshua to win that fight.
I think so, yeah. For Joshua Klitschko?
Yes.
Yeah, we all picked Joshua. By, like, murder. Yeah.
Why was he old when AJ fought him? Because it was almost 3 years later, coming off.
He had retired.
And he retired. He hadn't fought in a while.
Right.
He didn't fought for 3 years.
Right.
I mean, for sure, he
was older when AJ fought him. I mean, he was older in the sense that we thought he was done.
Is he awake or has he been in a he's like been in a coma for a couple?
Freeze dry, doing hard time, man.
Like is everything okay? Is everything working with this kid?
Nobody thought Tyson Fury was going to beat Vlad. You know what I mean? That was a fight we wanted to see, but I kind of envisioned it going the same way, same old Klitschko, hit and hold, this and that. But that was a very good, like I said, man, that was one of those things.
It was over 2 years, so stop it. So
No. He was definitely
It was closer to three.
Yeah, his time was definitely, in Scansus, he looked shot. Again, that's a very good comment, yeah.
Yeah, and I am a Fury fan, but I criticize Fury more so than anyone else. I mean,
sure.
He's not the lineal champ because he retired, and he was going to get stripped. He's not fighting good fighters right now. I don't like the path that he's going down. Is he getting paid? Yes, but I don't think it's enhancing his profile. But he is going to be on WWE, so I mean, he's probably doing something right.
I tell you what, you want to enhance somebody with his profile, put him there, man, because that place, jeez. I mean, they've got a lot of viewers, man.
Now, Fury failed the drug test. Should he have been allowed to fight Klitschko? No. So I'm objective. You're not. Checkmate. Go ahead, Eric.
So I says, you know, and I asked Veeb, I said, well, the Undisputed, going back to the Undisputed thing, and he reminded me, if that's the case, both Pacquiao and Mayweather, they never unified any titles. They were never undisputed. They were pound for pound, maybe, but never undisputed. So that's got to go out the window, you know what I mean? And because obviously everybody here would consider Mayweather and Pacquiao all-time greats. I don't think there's any question they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. I don't think there's any question. I mean, is that even debatable? You know what I mean? It's not even debatable. 50-0 or 49. I believe it's 49-0. I don't count the Conor McGregor thing. I mean, because he wasn't a professional. So
everyone's going to have their own criteria for what makes a fighter an all-time great. But the big thing for me is you have to beat great fighters. You have to beat other great fighters if they're considered great.
But, you know, is it their fault, though? I mean, how is it that, you know, like I said, I mean, would you consider Klitschko a great heavyweight? I would consider Klitschko a great heavyweight based on what he's done. Again, you can only – it's almost like, you know, in the college football or whatever, you know, when they say, well, you know, if this team would have gotten in the playoffs, I think they would have won. I think they were the better team. Listen, they weren't there. And the team can only play who's in front of them. And just like these guys, they can only fight who's across from them.
Well, with Klitschko, it's debatable and there's an argument. With Holyfield, it's really not debatable, and there's no argument.
No, there's no argument at all.
With
one of them, you know.
Lennox Lewis, there's no argument, and it's not really debatable.
James Toney.
You know, there's certain fighters. So whenever you're seeing a situation like Klitschko, he deserves to be in the conversation, but there's a strong argument that you could say that he's not an all-time great. And here's another thing, too. And this is kind of probably not fair to do,
mm-hmm.
and it may even be irrelevant, but what I like to do in myself is I like to see how each guy would do in each other's era.
It's hard to say, though. It's hard to say.
But what I like to do is I like to see how they perform against certain styles. I like to see how versatile they are. Like, when I look at a guy like Ray Leonard, I've seen Ray Leonard outbox guys, and I've seen Ray Leonard stalk guys. I've seen Ray Leonard I've seen Ray Leonard overcome adversity, and I've seen him on the brink, like in that Tommy Hearns fight.
That was amazing.
And the way he was able to switch gears and go to a plan B and say, you know what? This guy's killing me from the outside. I got to walk this guy down, get in his chest, and start ripping the body.
Right.
When has Klitschko ever thrown body shots? You know, when has Klitschko ever come from behind? When has he ever overcome adversity? Like,
well, look at the Chris. I mean, you remember the Chris Bird fight when he retired because of his shoulder?
No, that was Vitaly.
That was Vitaly Klitschko. There was another one, the Corey Sanders fight. Maybe that was when he got knocked out in three rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were talking about the Klitschko's. I always remember that shoulder thing where he's winning the fight.
In my opinion, Vladimir Klitschko is not an all-time great. He's great. He was the best he was the best in his era.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was an all-time great.
Wow.
But an argument could be made that he is.
Right.
I don't think he is.
What about, let's see here. Somebody mentioned Zab Judah. Loblo Champ says, was Zab Judah going to make the Hall of Fame? And this is interesting because people lost their minds. Remember when we did the champions thing? You know what I'm talking about? Where we had all these different champs from different eras. Well, it was the fantasy boxing, fantasy.
Yeah.
And I had Zab Judah beating Sugar Ray Robinson. And people lost their minds. And the thing is that, you know, if you think about it, if you watch the way Sugar Ray boxes, I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, back in the 50s when he boxed, you know, or it could have been in the 40s, I think. I don't know. I think it was in the 40s, wasn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
Something like that, yeah.
All right. If you watched his style of boxing, there is no way that translates to today's style. None. Absolutely none. No way that translates. Now, if you want to compare resumes and everything, I'm with you. Sugar Ray's probably got the better resume. He's the better guy. No questions asked. In his era, if you took Zab Judah, you know, but again, if you were to put these two guys in a ring, Zab Judah kills this guy. Sugar Ray Robinson, because his style would not translate to today.
Here's the problem with Sugar Ray Robinson. There's been, you know, fights that are on his record that are called, like, they call paper decisions, right?
Yeah.
That's a term they used way back when a guy really... They thought the guy lost the fight, but he got the decision. So they would call it like a paper decision because it was like on quote-unquote technically.
Yeah.
There's very, very, very little footage of Sugar Ray Robinson at Walton.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think you can go find one fight. I think the fight where he actually won the title against Tommy Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Ray Robinson lost to a lot of people that he was supposed to beat. Jake LaMotta, Carmen Basilio, Gene Fulmer, Randy Turpin. These were all guys that he was thought to have been levels above. And he lost to them all.
Yeah.
You know, so the problem with Sugar Ray Robinson was, with all the ability that he had, he still was sloppy. He still would throw wide punches. He still liked to slug. He was fast. He could move well. He was an incredible athlete. But he didn't know sometimes when to box and when it was time to box, when it was time to fight. And because of that, he lost fight. You know, and you could say he fought well past his prime, whatever, but
yeah, and which he did. I mean,
which he did, but Jake LaMotta beat him when he was in his prime.
Yeah. And again, man, like I said, man, if you his style, anything from the 40s, 50s, 60s, those styles are not going to translate to today.
I don't think Sugar Ray Robinson was the best fighter of all time. I just don't believe it.
I think he was the best of his era, sure.
I just don't I mean, I think a lot of guys, like, when you say, like, oh, Ray Leonard could beat Sugar Ray Robinson, oh, Tommy Hearns could beat Sugar Ray Robinson, or Floyd Mayweather could beat Sugar Ray Robinson, people are like, oh,
right.
How could you say that? But how many fucking Sugar Ray Robinson fights has anyone, like, watch Sugar Ray Robinson fight, okay, and just study how he fights. And look at how he fights.
I'll tell you this, if Sugar Ray, let me ask you this, like if Sugar Ray Robinson, if he was in our era, okay, like you and I were privileged enough to watch him coming up and everything, just like we do now with these fighters.
Yeah.
Years from now, you and I are probably going to say Roy Jones is probably the best fighter we've ever, Pernell Whitaker is the best fighter we've ever seen, or this, you know, and there's still, who's your favorite fighter?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Who took place, most of his matches, the great fights took place in the 80s. You know what I mean?
90s.
80s, 90s, somewhere in there. But now we're way past that.
Sure.
But he's still your favorite. All right? Because why? Because you grew up with him. And that's the same thing here with Sugar Ray Robinson. You know what I mean?
Well, but here's the thing about Leonard. When you look at Leonard and how he fought, you look at his style, you look how skilled he was.
Yeah.
It would be hard for anyone, in my opinion, to say that he couldn't fight in any other to be successful. I just think he would always be a great fighter. Like, he was, to me, he just looked, I thought he looked better than Sugar Ray Robinson. I just did.
For sure.
I thought it was smoother. I thought he had better footwork. I just thought he was faster. I thought he was a better boxer. I just thought he was a better boxer than Sugar Ray Robinson.
Listen.
Now that's blasphemous to say. what are you talking about? The footage I've seen of Sugar Ray Robinson, and the footage I've seen of Sugar Ray Leonard, I think Sugar Ray Leonard, and I saw Sugar Ray Leonard fight live several times too.
Right.
Now, I had no way of seeing Sugar Ray Robinson fight live, but I could see Sugar Ray Leonard beating these welterweights of today. I just could.
Fair enough. I think his style translates better than Robinson's would. Certainly translates better than a guy like, say, Joe Gans would.
I mean, when you look at a guy like Sugar Ray Leonard, who beat the bag out of Donnie Leilon. Now, you could say what you want about Donnie Leilon.
He's a big guy, though.
He wasn't an all-time great.
No.
Okay? But he was a very good fighter.
He was a good fighter, absolutely. Yeah.
He had a killer of a right hand. Okay? This was a guy that was a lot bigger than Ray Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ray Leonard was really a blown-up. He was a welterweight. Probably a junior middleweight tops. Okay? I interviewed Ray Leonard. I had the privilege of interviewing Ray Leonard, and I asked him, because there was a rumor, when he stepped on the scale when he fought Marvin Hagler, he had two rolls of quarters in his shorts. and he still only weighed 158.
Yeah.
He was a junior middleweight. Okay? He officially weighed in at 162 pounds when he fought Donnie Leon, but guess what? Stepped on the scale with boots, and he had pants on, and who knows what he had in his pocket.
Yeah.
So this guy was 154 pounds, and he beat a guy that was 175 pounds. And he didn't just beat him. He beat him up, knocked him out.
Destroyed him.
Out cold.
Out.
Did you see the hook he landed against him?
Mm-hmm. It was vicious.
Okay. So.
The vicious Ray Leonard.
to say this guy wasn't special and he couldn't fight in any era, this guy was incredible. He was incredible. And I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but he had a lot of demons. He had a lot of personal problems outside the ring.
Sure.
And he didn't live the cleanest life either. Okay? But he was so great that none of that mattered. Now, maybe I'm biased. Of course I'm biased.
Sure.
But I'm objective, too. Was it fair to make Donnie Leon come down 168 pounds and fight for a 168-pound title and a 175-pound title on the same night? No. Was it a good way to win to win two titles? Like, should you be able to win two titles on the same night in two different weight classes? Well, technically, Floyd Mayweather and Marcos Maidana, they fought for the 147-154-pound title on the same night. So, I mean, Mayweather claims he didn't realize, he didn't know about it, and he was mad at Alizé for doing that. But technically, it was kind of a ridiculous thing to do to put the 168-175-pound titles on the line at the same time. So I can be objective. I mean, was it a great accomplishment beating Don Leon? Yeah. But was it fair to make him put both of his titles on the line? No. He should have just been for the 168-pound title. You know? But it is what it is. But the way he beat Donnie Leon, a guy who was much younger than him, and a guy who was much bigger than him, that was incredible.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah,
the way
I
he
agree.
Came back against Tommy Hearn, the way he took 3.5 years off and beat Marvin Hagler, who's probably arguably in the top five. He's at least in the top five greatest medalists of all time, no?
Yeah, for sure.
At least in the top five. Some people have him in the top three. This guy was a monster. He was considered the ring's best fighter pound for pound in boxing at the time when Ray Leonard fought him. And
yeah.
This guy took 3.5 years off and beat him. That's fucking great. That's great.
I agree. Sugar Ray was a great fighter.
Marvin Hagler could fight in any era.
Marvin Hagler was a great fighter. No questions.
Southpaw, orthodox,
no questions.
Spakia, counterpunch, box.
And
this guy was smart, man.
And the advantages these guys had was that they had each other. You know what I mean? They had each other. They had four guys there. I mean, and, you know, we always talk about Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Ray Leonard, and Marvin Hagler. We always talk about those four.
Yes.
But they also had Wilfred Benitez. You know what I mean? You also had all these guys that it was stocked in there. It was stocked. I mean, they were in a loaded pond, man.
But when I watch these guys fight and I saw the things they did, I know what you're saying. When you go back, like, when you go back to the 40s and 50s,
mm-hmm.
You look at the way they fought, yeah, that was different.
Different.
But when you get into the 80s and the 90s.
Translates a little better.
It hasn't really changed that. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. 80s and 90s, skill-wise, you could argue they may be better than these guys now. Because these guys, I think, not all of them, but these guys, you know, you got the sports, you know, all the different training techniques now and the different nutrition and the just more knowledge about sports science and sports medicine.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys are bigger, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. These guys fought when they were, like Ray Leonard fought when they were same day weighing. Okay? So what if Ray Leonard fought today? Really? He could fight probably at 140 pounds and rehydrate to fucking 150 the next day. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, and these guys, they don't fight that. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think Keith Thurman's as good as Ray Leonard. I don't think Sean Porter's as good as Ray Leonard. Now, Manny Pacquiao, you could argue in his prime would give Ray Leonard a tough time. Ray Leonard had a tough time with Southpaw. That would be a tough style for Ray Leonard to deal with.
I would say Pernell Whitaker would give you a tough style for him.
Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Mayweather would give Ray Leonard fit.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you, you can make an argument that those are all 50-50 fights.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right? But when you look at Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, there's no way these guys beat Ray Leonard in this line. I just don't see it. That's my opinion.
Guilty Simpson says that Triple G's title run was a regular was with a regular belt. He never actually passed Hopkins' record. I think that's nonsense. Again, that's not his fault. It is what it is. And listen, he's a middleweight belt. He's a middleweight title holder. He defended it X amount of times. You know, do you agree that Floyd Mayweather is 50-0? Because his 50th win came against an amateur? A guy with no, you know, professional debut? Is that fair? No.
I never had any amateur fights either.
Who's that?
Conor McGregor, I don't think.
Right. I think he did. No, I think he was an amateur boxer. I think he was an amateur boxer.
Really?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Okay.
But not like any high-level box. I'm talking about like local-type stuff. It wasn't like he was like on the Irish boxing team or anything like that.
You have to find his record. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have any amateur fights, but I don't think it was an extensive amateur career.
Guilty Simpson asks, can you at least agree that Usyk is a greater fighter than Golovkin, even with less than 20 fights?
The eye test does show me, in my opinion, that Usyk I like to look at skills too.
Let me ask you this: if Usyk gets laid out by Tyrone this weekend, Spong, all right, if he gets laid out this weekend, or he has a tougher than expected time. Are we still having this conversation?
Probably not.
You know what I mean? That's the thing, is that like...
But if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
But that's the thing, though, is like we always... It's the boxing, you know, you're only as good as your last performance.
That's true.
And that's the way it is.
But Golovkin hasn't looked good in a while.
But let me tell you, what I will tell you about Usyk is that he's fought the who's who at cruiserweight, and he's beat the who's who at cruiserweight.
Okay.
Very good fighter, no question about it.
When you look at these guys, Usyk, and you look at a guy like Golovkin, and you look at a guy like Lomachenko, look at all three of these guys, and you pick them apart, what they do well, mm-hmm. what they don't do well.
Yeah. They're all very schooled. They're all very technically schooled.
Who out of the three is probably the least skilled all around? I'm going to say Golovkin.
I don't know.
Those guys can fight backing up. Those guys can counterpunch. Those guys have much better than average defense. Those guys can box. Those guys go to the body consistently.
I will say that Usyk has never really been tested. He's fought a lot of good guys, but we've never seen what I mean by tested.
Bellew was winning the fight before he got knocked out, in my opinion.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I had him up.
Did you have him up? I didn't think he was winning that fight, though.
I had him up by, and the judges did too.
Really? I didn't think he was winning that fight, man. I was hoping he was winning that fight.
I thought he was up by a point. I had him up close.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that... it's tough to say. If we look at it now, you know, who's the best one? I think that you have to go with Lomachenko, Usyk, followed by Triple G as being the lightest on that scale. But at the same time, again, Triple G is, again, on that slide. You know, where was he 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or whatever, when he was in the midst of this big streak? I don't know.
The Gabriel Sanchez is laughing right now.
I think there is some. I don't think so, but I think there is some satisfaction. The fact that he left and maybe left when he did. I don't think Jonathan Banks does anything for Golovkin, but as I pointed out last night, I think it's fair to say that, you know, wherever Golovkin goes from now on, if he does decide to go with somebody different than Banks, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter at all. He's way too far in his career to learn new tricks, in the sense that he's going to be able to adapt a different style and that kind of thing. He's way past that. Way past that.
We got a Golovkin fanboy in the chat. Isn't that nice?
What? Which one?
This guy in Joshua Cotto.
Oh, yeah. Triple G defending him more times than Usyk fought.
You're hurting your feelings. I'm so sorry. We're not giving your idol and your hero his due. No.
He said Lomachenko got dropped by Linares. Triple G's never been dropped. So what?
What?
Anybody can be dropped on any given day.
I got dropped by a 110-pound woman when I was sitting on this chair one day. When I was so what? I was 210 pounds at the time. I went down like a sack of potatoes. I still got up and defended the title.
Guilty Simpson is I think it's funny that Joshua Cotto, obviously really is behind Triple G.
Oh,
and Guilty Simpson is clearly on the complete opposite of that spectrum. Because you can sense the bias here. Hopkins fought 10 Hall of Famers. Triple G fought one. Again, who's available to fight? That's where you have to go with this. You know? Now, what about – let's talk about these the Hall of Fame ballots. I guess, you know, we talked about Zab Judah a little bit ago. And Zab Judah, I believe, is on that ballot. It's hard for me to put Zab Judah in there.
Yeah,
it's tough for me to put him in there, you know. So, you know, and then do we say again, like the number of Hall of Famers that you fought, does that count for anything? I think it does. I think it absolutely does. But you go in Floyd Mayweather, all right? You know, I think that Floyd Mayweather, and, you know, a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but I think that he fought a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys... A little bit on the slide. I don't think he fought any of them when they were like killers.
Well, Shane Mosley was coming off an awesome victory with Antonio Margarito. He destroyed Antonio Margarito.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And then Shane Mosley hurt Floyd Mayweather badly in that fight.
Antonio Margarito, that was the glove gate, the glove gate one, where you know he came in with the hand wraps and everything like that, and they had to rewrap his hands. I would argue that that was a tough thing. Did they do that in the Trinidad Hopkins fight too, where he went in the car and they had to rewrap? Tito had to rewrap his hands,
yeah,
or something like that.
Tito used to have these freaking ham hocks when he wrapped his hands. Like it was crazy the way Tito used to wrap his hands.
Yeah, you know. So I just think that Floyd fought a lot of guys on that slide, and I think that you know when he fought Canelo, Canelo wasn't there yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, some people would disagree with me, and that's fine, too. I don't care. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Tiny Tim says no way for Judah in there. Yeah, I agree with that.
I won't get in.
Yeah, I agree with that. Juan Manuel Marquez, I think, is a shoo-in. Bernard Hopkins, clear shoo-in. If balloting took place tomorrow, would Triple G get in the Hall of Fame?
Took place tomorrow?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I don't think he would.
Wow. I think he's a shoo-in. I think Triple G is a first ballot shoo-in.
Voted in on the chat.
Tiny Tim, Omar Rodriguez says yes. Yes, because Tax says yes because he's white. That's right, because only white people like Bernard Hopkins get in the Hall of Fame. Juan Manuel Marquez is another white guy that's going to get in the Hall of Fame. Do you guys realize that the Hall of Fame is headlined by two minorities? Do you guys realize that? Come on. What's the matter with you?
This is funny.
Canelo's whole resume, Sebastian Andrew, so Canelo's whole resume is based on fighting over-the-hill fighters and having the judges in his pocket. Huh. Okay. All right. Well, you've been heard. Yeah, everybody thinks that. Yeah, Golovkin gets in first time. Let's talk. This is interesting. Okay, well, Jem J says, what about Wilder? This is a tough one. This is a real tough one, man.
He doesn't get in.
You know, but
he's not getting in if it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think so either, man. I gotta be honest, man. He's got a soft resume. He's got a real soft resume. Like it or not, he's got a soft resume.
Is Fury getting in?
He was the undisputed champion. Beat Vlad Klitschko.
Fury's getting in. I've worked for him 10 times.
But he's got, but you know what? He's got a soft resume, too.
He does.
He's got a real soft resume, and his big claim is Vlad Klitschko and a draw.
He's got Derek Chisora.
And I did think that he beat Deontay Wilder. That being said, I thought he beat Deontay Wilder. But again, if we're going officially, he's got a draw. He didn't win that. Yeah, I don't think he gets in. I don't know.
He's never getting in.
Yeah, Wilder, Rob Palmer says Wilder's never separated himself from a top-level opponent. Yeah, I get that. Let's see here. To stop hating on Gatti. Listen, I know, and I know Montero thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame, Arturo Gatti I'm speaking of here. I'm not in that camp. I'm just not in that camp. Did he put on great fights? Yes. Did he put on entertainment, unforgettable fights? Yes. Did he have the resume as far as titles, everything like that, to get into the Hall of Fame? I don't think he did. And in fact, so much so that the bar, when we talk about guys getting in the Hall of Fame, the first question we now ask is, does he have a better resume than Arturo Gatti? If the answer is yes, then you got to let him in. That's it. All right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's it. You know, I think
we've had these conversations.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if it's not, you know, if it's on based on sheer entertainment, he gets in. What about, you know, yeah, if it's on sheer entertainment, he gets in, but it shouldn't be. Very interesting one here. Is Adrian Broner getting in? I think he does, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He ain't getting in.
I don't think he does.
He's not getting in.
But how do you not let him in? He's a four division champion. He's a four-division champion.
He's not getting
How do you not let him in?
Eric Goff, he's not getting
How do you not let him in? He's a four-division champion.
He gets into the Hall of Fame.
There shouldn't be one right now.
I'll stop watching this.
That's cold-blooded, man. I think if Vinny Paz is not in the Hall of Fame, Adrian Broner should not be in the Hall of Fame.
I'll stop watching freaking Figure Skating.
This game's not bad. It's not bad. Reese Mack said, "No, he ain't getting in. Stop playing." Cozy Riddle says he's a four division champ, which is the thing, which is wild to think about, and it is.
That's funny.
He's a four division champ.
That's fine,
but it's based on matchmaking. It's not based on.
Well,
but listen, I'll tell you what. I couldn't beat any of the guys he beat to become champion. I couldn't. You know what I mean?
No, he couldn't.
So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't think so, though.
I think Boom Boom Mancini is in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
I believe he is. I believe Ricky Hatton is, too. Is he not?
I'm not sure. I don't think Ricky Hatton's in. I would put Ricky Hatton in, though. I like Ricky Hatton.
Oh, I would absolutely put him in. Is he in? Hold on here. Let me see. It'll give me a list here in just a second.
Marlon Argy's not getting in.
Marlon Argy is not getting in, no. Let's see here.
What did I score for Jacobs? The Golovkin fight? Yeah, I did. That's correct.
Hatton is not in.
Not in?
No, Mancini is not in.
He's not in either? Wow.
No. How about Arturo Gatti is in, but not Ray Mancini?
Yeah, crazy.
That is absolutely crazy. All right, let's go to the phones here. 508. 508, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Oh, no, not again. Not again.
We're not again. It ain't no show without Paul G. Better put some respect on my name. I'm on that trap phone, baby. I'm on that trap phone. Let me shut down the AC so I sound a little better, hopefully.
Shut down the AC.
Sorry, silly. You can't adjust the AC at Rikers. The guards do that for you.
Oh, God.
No, we got them kidnapped right now, so. Listen. What makes a fighter great? What was the name of the drunken master? What the fuck was that dude's name?
Emmanuel Augustus.
Yeah. Would you, even that this dude, he always was on close fights. And he got beat most of the time and a few robberies along the line and whatnot. So he got the shittiest record you can imagine, whatever. But the dude was great on my eyes. I don't say he's a Hall of Famer, but he was a great fighter. What you got to say about that?
Well, I'll go you one better. What about Darnell Boone, who, you know, may have beaten Andre Ward? Definitely beat Kovalev? I thought he beat, or was it the decision with Kovalev or something like that? I think they had a rematch because they thought he beat him or whatever. He's fought a who's who and was robbed in a lot of those fights.
I think he had a draw with Kovalev.
Beat Adonis Stevenson. Yeah, what about that guy? Ohio,
so what about guys like that? Do they make it to the Hall of Fame?
No.
No, they don't.
Not at all. You got to hold a title, some type of shit, even though you are a great fighter on your own. That's crazy, right?
Yep.
Because you should be about
look at,
James
Quick Tillis
that you got.
Look at James Quick Tillis. If that's the case, then why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? Because he should be, but, you know.
Hey, it is what it is. It's one of those puzzling things that, it's like I said today, yesterday, man. It's all about that perception, what really people see out there, what they like, what they consider great, you know? Because, like, that's
it
why
is,
we all see
perception.
Shit different.
Right.
And there is a lot of guys right now that I think that they're just going to make it to the Hall of Fame regardless because they use that criteria about, like, how many titles you got. AB got 4 fucking bills.
That's
and
the
now
thing.
That these
I
bills,
mean, that's a tough one for me.
But it is how it is. I mean, now that these all these bills keep fucking multiplying, everybody got a strap. So it become a lot easier to be champion or so-called champion. You know, so, like, the old timers, they had a lot of heartache. They really have to. There was no junior fucking middleweight, no junior dad, no, you know what I'm saying? You really have to jump divisions and challenge motherfuckers for real belts. So, I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to do like they do in baseball. There is a fucking before the pets era, before everybody was juicing, and after that. So we're going to have to do something like that with boxing. Before these WBA fucking 3,000 fucking bells and the senior bell and whatever the galactic bell, whatever the fuck they got out there, we have to make a divide and decide from there, okay, this period, guys, they had it a lot harder. You know what I'm saying? So, like AB, he got 4 bells. He really deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
He does. But I don't know when he gets in. I think he deserves it on his merit. He deserves it.
What's
he deserves
merit?
It. I don't think he'll get in.
But
yes, but I don't think he'll get in.
Who he beat for these bells? Who he beat for these bells? And how long they were reigning champion? How many defenses? How many vacants? If we start accepting all this shit like that,
it was a product of good matchmaking.
Old school.
Don't worry, George. He's not getting in. You don't have to get worried about it. He ain't getting in.
He's got a better chance of being your cellmate at Rikers than getting into the Hall of Fame.
When he sees you out on the block, he's going to sell you a brick.
Which are high-quality bricks, by the way.
Listen. It comes down to this. It comes down to what these people like. And we got to understand, too, that this is based on relationships. Between promoters and old-timers, and you know what I'm saying? So it's who you know pretty much there, so you marry alone, not going to take you to the Hall of Fame. You know? You marry alone, not going to take you there, so you got to be liked, too. So AB is not liked by the establishment, per se. You know, he got a fan base. We cannot deny that. But the establishment, he really, they don't like him. Don't like his ass. Anyway, but everybody should like the show. I'm not going to drag this shit on. Support the channel. Donate whatever you want. Support the real. I'm outie.
All right, Georgie.
When's Floyd going to be on the ballot?
Well, he's got to retire for 3 years, so.
When's he been official? He retired in 2017 in August.
Right? Yeah, but he's still fighting, right? Didn't he fight kid? Tension?
He's fighting a commission, though, so does that count?
I don't know. Cozy Widow said if Crawford retired today, would he be a Hall of Famer? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no question.
Mayweather
will
probably be on the ballot next year because that's 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a shoo-in for it. I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, there's no question.
No question asked. Let's see here. Somebody asked if Carl Froch was a better fighter than Triple G. I say no. I know you say yes, but would somebody said that he would have iced Triple G? Stop it.
I like Froch.
You think he would have iced Triple G? He would have knocked him out?
I don't know if he would knock him out. I think he could beat him.
I think Triple G runs over Carl Froch time.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but Weismack says some fighters are no-brainers. No relations really needed for some. I think so. I think so, too. Floyd Mayweather is that guy, you know. Manny Pacquiao, without question, is that guy. So what is it, you know, and that brings up an interesting thing because we talk about Adrian Broner, and I mean, it is a tricky situation in the sense that, like, he's got four belts in four different weight classes. How does that not translate? How does that not make him a Hall of Famer? And what's your criteria? You know, that's a tough one. Is Cozy, you said, is Robert Guerrero a Hall of Famer? 100% no.
He's a four-division champion, isn't he?
I think he might be.
I think he's a three-division.
Three, because he had those two, and then he jumped up. But he didn't win the welterweight title, did he?
No. I think he had 126, 130, 135. Yeah, he's not that. No. Oh, no, but he got 142, no?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up. Jorge Arce is a five-division champ, says Joshua Cotto, and that's why he's on the ballot. Yeah, he's on the ballot. So, yeah, he could very well get in. And, yeah, he definitely deserves to get in. But, yeah, man, I don't know. You know, you look at guys like that. I mean, he's got four titles, but like you said, I mean, who did he beat to get him? And he's right. You know, they weren't like, you know, Pauly Malignaggi was the only one of note that he beat to get those titles. That's a tough one.
What decision, dude?
Yeah, I thought he won that fight, though. I thought he won it pretty handily. Tony Yayo says, is Nate Campbell a Hall of Famer? I don't believe he is.
No.
I don't believe he is. Great guy, good fighter, but Hall of Famer, not 100%. Roger Mayweather, is he a Hall of Famer?
Maybe. It's tough, but
I don't know.
I would vote him in. The Bradley Hall of Famer?
No.
Yeah, I would vote him in.
I wouldn't vote Bradley in.
Beat Marquez, great fighter. Beat Pacquiao, great fighter.
Yeah, I would.
Bradley will get in.
I don't think he will.
Two division champion.
I don't think he gets in.
Yeah, victories over two Hall of Fame fighters.
He gets in this time, I'll tell you that. And I don't know that he gets in next time.
He's on the ballot, right?
Yes. He's now on the ballot. I believe he'll be a carryover.
Yeah.
And PJB says, if Inoue retired now, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think you gotta put him in. But, you know, what do you do? All right, so that's an interesting point, too. Let's look at Lomachenko, all right? Let's talk about Lomachenko here for a minute because Inoue fits in that same mold. You know, these guys got less than 20 fights.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot in that 20 fights. I don't know.
So you're basically saying – eventually, Inoue will build up the resume to get him in, but you're kind of projecting, making a projection, really.
Well, he says if Inoue retired now.
Oh, now? Yeah, it's tough to
say. It's tough to say.
I don't think so now, because there's not enough accomplishment.
Joshua Cotto, what about Roman Gonzalez? Chocolatito should,
It'll be tough.
But yeah. He's a lighter weight man, so it should. Yeah. Is Ricardo Lopez is in, right?
He's got to be.
Let me see.
He's got to be.
Got to be, right? Ricardo Lopez is. Yes, Ricardo Lopez is in.
Well, how many undisputed champions won't get in? Zab Judah's an undisputed champion.
Zab Judah's an undisputed champion. James Buster Douglas.
Buster Douglas. So, that doesn't...
Doesn't automatically put you in.
Doesn't automatically put you in. It's your body of work.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is, I mean, if you're going in, you have to go in, like, if you're planning it, I don't know. You know, you have to go in on an off year, because if you're, you know, if you're a fighter like that, all right, like an Adrian Broner or something like that, you know, if Floyd, if you retire and you're going in the same year as Floyd on that ballot, the same year as Floyd, that's already a spot taken. You're not getting in, you know. Let's see here.
Who was Sprouse's best win? That's a good argument. I don't know. Maybe Miguel Castro, maybe.
How is Roy Jones not on there? When is
Is he in the Hall of Fame, Roy Jones?
No.
He's not?
He's not, but I don't know if he's eligible yet. He should be eligible.
When did he officially retire?
I don't know. Well, that's the other thing. Do you officially retire and then you're eligible?
You have to officially retire.
Because, I mean, listen, man, Roy Jones might be he's definitely the best fighter I've ever seen, you know, bar none. In his prime, he was the best fighter I've ever seen. No question about it. And how could you argue it? I mean, pound for pound might be the best ever. And how could you argue it? You know, 160, what did he win?
160, 168, 175 in heavyweight.
Heavyweight. How can you, is that even worth arguing?
Four division champion.
I mean, that's not even worth arguing, man.
But see, Tarver probably won't get in, and he beat Roy Jones.
Tarver should get in.
Yeah.
Based on his body of work, he absolutely should get in. James Toney, is James Toney in?
Yeah. It's not 5 years anymore what you need. They switch it to three.
Yeah.
They switch it to three. Bill Kazagi's getting him for sure.
Down here.
Roy's last fight was February 2018. Okay, so it's gonna take a while.
James Toney is not in the Hall of Fame. How about that?
Why?
I don't know.
That's
crazy, right? But it says here the 2022. Maybe he's eligible. Let's see here. It's probably.
Well, he's still fighting, though, isn't he? Here's his last fight.
I don't know. I wonder when he's going to be eligible here. He fought in 2017, so yeah, he can't. He's not in.
He'll be eligible.
He should be a first ballot, no question.
He'll get him.
All right, 787, you're live.
Hey guys, Omar, Rodriguez. I was just listening, but I was thinking earlier, is it fair to compare eras based on their styles? Like if one style beats the other, we were talking about Sugar Ray and Leonard versus Robinson, and I don't know. I just don't think it's fair to compare eras that way, at least in the base of the styles per se.
Yeah, I think he dropped off here.
Yes,
yeah, he's got a in and out. I'm sorry. If you call back on next show, we'll put you right on. He's just got a real bad connection.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, my man.
So, for me,